And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You might also consider, for context, a portion of scripture that's found in Matthew 27, beginning at the third verse. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." J.B. Phillips in his translation says, "That's your business." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. I want you to reason with me from this thought. You got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. Can I get a witness? You got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. I want to reason with you a little while about the greed of man, the restlessness of man, the dissatisfaction of man. Can I get a witness? Otis Redding made a recording some time ago of which I'm sure none of you are familiar. The song title was, "I Can't Get No." You heard that, didn't you? Satisfaction. Amen. I tell you, that's true with some men and women today. No matter what they have, they are still dissatisfied. Can I get a witness? Some folk want everything they see you with. Can I get a witness? No matter what you have, they want it. They want your house. They want your car. They want your job. And some of them want your wife. Can I get a witness? But I come to tell you tonight, you better keep what you got. You know what you got, but you don't know what you're trying to get. You may get more than you bargained for. I could say more about that, but I won't. Everything that glitters ain't gold. Can I get a witness? You can't tell a book by its cover. Ain't that right? The grass always looks greener on the other side of the street. Now, I want to tell you a story that my mother told me once. It was about dissatisfaction. So that was a bull once that was in a pasture. And this bull was knee-deep in grass and had six heifer cows in the pasture with him. And he was the only bull. All he had to do was eat grass. Get a witness? And service them God. But in the next pasture, there were three other cows over there with a fence between them. And he didn't pay his cows any attention. He just kept his nose up against the fence. Just saying, oh, I wish I could get over there. Wasn't paying what he had no attention. Trying to get over there where the fence was. Well, he took all he could stand. That was a tall fence with three strands of barbed wire on top of it. One day he measured the height of that fence and backed up far enough to get him a good running start. And he took off running toward that fence and leaped as high as he could and just did clear the fence, and the barbed wire cut him all under his stomach as he was falling over on the other side. He fell over on the other side. And when he got up and discovered he was over there, he was so happy. And he took off charging up to where those cows were. But when he got up to where they were, he discovered that they were bulls too. Husbands, your wives may not have the 26-inch waistline. She may not use Giorgio's obsession or passion or poison and opium cologne. She may not wear Bill Blass or Yves Saint Laurent or Willie Smith fashion. But she keeps your house clean. She keeps you clean. She manages your money well and keeps a full plate in front of you. You better hang in there. Because you may get what you want, but you can lose what you got. Many young men and women living at home with mother and father got it made and don't even know it. They got free gas and free electric, refrigerator full of food, free telephone in their room, clean clothes in their drawer, driving a car that daddy bought, got a gas car, don't pay for the insurance, not a tag on it. Can I get a witness? Got it made. But they come in and announce to you one day they want to move. They want their own apartment where they can entertain their guests. I recommend that you take the day off work and go with them. Can I get a witness? You go and help them find an apartment. Amen. You see, they need to know how it feels to pick up a telephone and there's no dial tone. Phone been cut off. They need to know how it feels to stand in front of an empty refrigerator with nothing in it but a bottle of water. At home, they stand in front of the refrigerator with both doors open 15 minutes. Can I get a witness? Trying to decide what I'm gonna eat. They need to know what an empty refrigerator looks like. I tell you, they need to know how it feels to turn on a light switch and no light come on. At home, they turn on all the lights in the house. Leave them all on. Can I get a witness? They don't have to pay the light bill. They need to know how it feels to turn the thermostat up and no heat come up. Amen. Heat's been cut off. At home, they turn the heat up. They get so hot, then they open the window. You let them go on and get an apartment. I promise you, they may get what they want, but they'll lose what they got. Let's look at our text for a minute here. I don't want to be long. We have a story here about two brothers, one named Jacob, and the other one named Esau. Jacob was handsome and smooth and good to look at. And his mama loved him. mama's boy. Esau was red and rough and hairy and was a hunter, and his daddy loved him. Well, sometimes we take advantage of our physical endowment. However you look, you didn't have nothing to do with that. That decision was made for you, unless you got a good plastic surgeon. And many times, folk will take advantage of other folk based on their look. Don't get quiet on me. Jacob just knew he was slick until he met his father-in-law. Found out that was somebody else slicker than him. Can I get a witness? Amen. Laban out-slicked him. Well, let's talk about these brothers a while here. You see, under the Mosaic law, the firstborn got the birthright of his father. The firstborn. The birthright involved or included the succession of the official authority of the father. The authority of the father fell on the firstborn at the death of the father. The next thing is a double portion of the father's property went to the firstborn. That's why the prodigal son made that statement, give me that portion of the goods that befalleth me. He didn't want his brother's portion, for his brother had a double portion, but he had a portion, and he wanted his portion, the firstborn. Esau had all of these things fall into him because he was the firstborn and had the birthright. One day Esau came from the field and he was faint. He was exhausted. He was tired. And he was hungry. Jacob was sodding pottage, as was his custom. He was sodding pottage of lentils, a pot of red beans. Can I get a witness? Esau wanted to eat. Jacob wanted his birthright. They struck a deal. Jacob said to him, you give me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of beans. The price Jacob bought his brother's birthright was a bowl of red beans, pottage of lentils, and lentils of beans. Isn't that right? Esau thought it over for a while and he said, what good is a birthright to me right now, and I'm hungry? Can I get a witness? Sometimes we give up too much for a barbecue sandwich. Can I get a witness? Some years ago, I was in Chicago under the Daily Machine in my early ministry, and I saw black folk selling their votes for a can of beer and a barbecue sandwich. I tell you, we give up too much sometimes for a satisfied stomach.
All right.
We can get along on a lot less than we think we can. Amen. Esau got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. He lost his position in the family. He lost the ability to pass on the lineage of Jesus down through his name. Can I get a witness? Nobody says Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Can I get a witness? But they all said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can get hungry after this world if you want to, but you will lose your spirit. You will lose your ability to shout. You will lose your fellowship with the master. Reason some folk can't shout is that they are hungry after the world. Reason some folk can't cry, they lost their spirit. For the spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. Can I get a witness? It's a terrible thing to be sitting up in church. Everybody shouting. Everybody praising God. Folk got their pocket handkerchiefs out, and you don't feel nothing. I tell you, that's a terrible thing to sit there and not be able to feel the master's love. Many church folk have left the church for a good time. They left the church to go out in the world after nose candy. Can I get a witness? They left the church to go out in the world after Mary Jane. Can I get a witness? They can have a good time. They can get what they want, but they'll lose what they got. Church folk will feed you when the world will give you a can of beer. I remember my early days in Chicago. You'd go visiting somebody and you'd smell corn muffins in the kitchen. You'd smell chicken frying, and you'd smell corn being fried in the kitchen. You'd smell turnip greens stewing. You'd be just sitting there wondering when dinner was going to be served. After a while, one of them said, "Excuse me, please, y'all talk on. Would you like another can of beer?" They go on in the kitchen, stay about 15, 20 minutes, come back wiping grease from around their mouth. Can I get a witness? And say, "Can I get you something else to drink?" And they sit down and say, "Now, where were we? Where were we?" And the other one will say, "Y'all, excuse me a minute." Yeah. And they go on in the kitchen and, amen, and they, amen, and will not offer you a chicken bone. The world operates like that. When you leave the church and go out in the world, you can get what you want, but you lose what you got. Church folk are the best folk in the world. They'll feed you when you're hungry. They'll give you money to put in your pocket when you're broke. They'll give you a warm bed to sleep in when you're outdoors. And they'll put clothes on your back when you're naked. I don't know where you are now, but if you're not in the church somewhere, you are in trouble.
You need to be in the church.
Let me look a little further here. Samson,
all right,
was a strong man.
Yeah.
He saw a beautiful Philistine woman named Delilah and wanted her. We can understand that. Samson knew that he was a Nazarite. He knew that strong drink should never touch his lips, nor metal his head. Samson was never to reveal the secret of his strength, which was in his head. Christians, we better be careful. The world wants to know our weak spot so they can destroy us. This beautiful woman struck a conspiracy with the Philistines because Samson was giving them all kinds of trouble. He had killed 10,000 of them with the jawbone of a donkey. So they struck a deal with her. We'll give you 10,000 pieces of silver if you can get rid of this troublemaker for us. She said, that sound all right to me. Samson got what he wanted. She said to him, Samson, what makes you so strong? What would it take to make you weak like a natural man? Samson said, if you bind me with 7 green withes, I'll become weak like a natural man.
I hear you.
And as he slept, she bound him with 7 green withes and shook him and said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you.
Yeah.
He snapped up and jumped up, and she said, you lied to me. You said if I bound you with 7 green withes, you'd become weak like a natural man. Why did you lie to me? Tell me, what will it take? Samson said to her, if you go get a new rope and bind me with that new rope, I'll become weak as any other man. And she bound him with a new rope and shook him and said, Samson, the Philistines are coming.
Yeah.
He jumped up and snapped the ropes. She said, why are you playing with me? You don't care for me. You just playing with me. Why would you do this to me? You don't love me. Samson, what will it take to make you weak? Like a natural man. He said, if you take the 7 locks of my hair and fasten them with a wedge and put a pin in them, I'll become weak like a natural man. Samson need to do something about his sleeping because he went sleep too much. I ain't got nothing to do with what put him to sleep. just think he slept too much. And as he slept, she took the web and bound his seven locks of his hair and took a pin and drove it into a beam. And she said to him, "Samson, arise, the Philistines come." And he jumped up and snapped the beam and the pin with his long hair. She said to him, "You playing with me? You don't love me." And she cried, I believe, because women know the moving power of tears. Nothing else don't work, they try crying. That'll generally get it. And the Bible says that she vexed him night and day until he told her, "If I be shaven of my head, I shall become weak like any other man." And the Bible says she caused him to sleep in her lap. Samson had a terrible problem. He slept too much. He should do something about that. But while he slept, she called another one to come in and shave his head. She bound him, and they led him away captive, weak, unable to do anything to defend himself. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. He lost his hat. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. And he lost his life. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. I don't want to be long here, but I gotta say a word about David. David saw a beautiful nude woman bathing on a rooftop. I wouldn't accuse David of being a peeping Tom, because she was out in the open according to the Bible. And he saw her and wanted her. He said, "King, that's Uriah's wife." He said, send for her, tell her the king wants her." Being an obedient subject, she came. And there, a relationship developed until she became with child while her husband was in the army. You don't hear me. David said, "Where is he?" Said, "King, he is fighting with Joab up on the front." Said, "Send for him. I'm going to sign an executive order giving him a 30-day furlough. Bring him home." And he came home on a furlough, and he was told to go on home and enjoy your family life. But Uriah would not go in the bedroom. He slept at the door. And she said to David, when he called her on the phone, she said, "It ain't working." Said, he won't come in here. We got to do something better than this. Can I get a witness? So the king said, "Well, after a couple of times of trying to get him drunk on wine and stuff, said, tell him to stop by here on his way back to the front line. I got a message I want to give to Joab by him." And he rode out on the note, put you right on our most dangerous front. And he gave the note to Uriah. He took it today to Joab. Joab read it and gave Uriah another assignment. He was killed in battle for his king. David got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. The prophet Nathan said to David, "The sword shall never leave thine house." Didn't he say that? We know what happened. God took the life of the child, wouldn't let the child live. One of David's sons raped his sister. Brother came in and caught him and killed him. We know what happened. David lost his joy. He lost his free spirit. He lost his gladness. And he lost his fellowship with God. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. As I come to my conclusion, we hear Judas talking to the Roman soldier. We hear Judas when he said, "Let's root a bargain, for I have betrayed innocent blood." You don't hear me? Let's go back on the deal I made with you. For this is an innocent man. I heard them say to him, "What is that to us? That's your business. Yeah, you attend to that. You got what you wanted, and that was 30 pieces of silver. Tell me, Judas, why did you turn Jesus in? You knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah. You knew that Jesus was the Son of God. You knew that Jesus was a good man and a perfect man. You knew that Jesus was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me tell you one thing tonight, brethren. Judas was there when Jesus changed water to wine. He knew that he was the Son of God. Judas was right there when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He knew that Jesus was a good man. Judas was right there when Jesus came walking on the bosom of the sea, made a highway in the middle of the blue ether. Judas was right there when Jesus took a schoolboy's lunch and fed 5,000 folks. You don't hear me? Judas was right there when Jesus saw a man at a pool for 38 long years. Judas was right there when Jesus told him to rise, take up your bed, and walk. Judas was right there when the man put his bed on his shoulder and got up and went on down the road. Tell me, Judas, why did you turn Jesus in? Yeah! Judas was a greedy man. Judas, he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Judas was right there when a woman that had
Go and show yourself clean unto the priest. Yeah! You look for it right now. When Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, Lazarus was sitting at the banquet table in glory. Lazarus had on his royal diadem.
But when I look in the mirror, I see a girl, beautifully broken, perfectly flawed. I don't even know how I made it this far. And I'm asking myself questions like, why did I do it? Why did this happen to me? Then I said, you can get through it. You just have to believe what I do now. Gotta make it all count. So why not me? I'm the perfect person to go through this storm. It won't break me, it won't kill me, I'll move on. And then I'll come out even better than before. And I'll never see this place anymore. 'Cause my faith is getting stronger every day. I'm removing everything that's in my way. And the fact that I survived another day makes me say, why not me? To go through the storm, it won't break me, it won't kill me, I'll move on. Then I'll come out even better than before, and I'll never see this place anymore. 'Cause my faith is getting stronger every day. I'm removing everything that's in my way, and the fact that I survived another day. Oh, this is my moment. It took me a while, but I have no regrets. I've given my
year's MLK celebration, because of social health concerns, will be observed privately through various media outlets. The Alexandria Citywide Revival Crusade will provide constant radio and television reminders of Dr. King's dream of equality, unity, peace, and prosperity for all people, regardless of race, color, religion, or creed. Although public gatherings for parades, speeches, and services are suspended for the moment, we will continue to honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're asking you to continue to remember what he stood for and work toward making his dream come to fruition.
We must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality.
The Alexandria Citywide Revival Crusade chairman is Pastor Clarence Dupar Jr. The co-chairman is Pastor Michael Grimes, and the advisor, Pastor Wesley Lotz Jr. The Alexandria Citywide Revival Crusade is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
The People Who Care at Greer's Gutter and Patio Covers in Calhoun would like to take this special time out to recognize and salute the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the globe. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. That's a message from Greer's Gutter and Patio Covers, where they say service isn't just a courtesy, it's a commitment. For more information, 318-953-1703. That's 318-953-1703 for Greer's Gutter and Patio Covers at 224 Sarah Lane in Calhoun. Greer's Gutter and Patio Covers is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJO 88.1 FM.
This is Wade Hampton in the Weather Center. Let's check our Tuesday forecast for Shreveport. Look for partly cloudy skies with a high at 51 and an overnight low at a freezing 32. Sunny in Monroe with a high at 50 and a low at 31. Lake Charles is going to be mostly sunny, high temperature at 53, overnight low at 35. Sunny in Natchez, Mississippi, a high temperature at 47 and a low at 28. And here in the Central City, it's sunny with a high at 49 and a low at 29. And that's a look at your Tuesday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
Since 6 a.m. this morning,
why do you work?
KAYT has presented the gospel in both sermon and song.
Victory, but you got to believe.
We trust you've been blessed.
Yeah.